Rockland, USA.
Welcome, rock stars, from Rockland, USA studios in Washington. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting those hard-earned monies. Even if mommy didn't hug you, we're here to help. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to multi-millions without any fees or commissions. It's kind of what we do here. I'm Craig Lucky with Amanda Braun, your host. Thank you for joining us. Phone lines are open at 989-888-ROCK. That's 989-888-7625. You can leave a voicemail or text us with your questions or comments, and we'll play those on the show. And if you're too shy for all of that, you can email us at podcast@rocklandusa.com. How you doing, Amanda?
I am doing very well, Dane. How are you?
This is kind of an exciting day. This is our first episode.
I am pumped.
I bet you are. Just so everybody knows who we are.
I am a mother. My son is off to college, so I am now an empty nester. And I live with my husband, who is active duty military. I am an in-house counsel for a large startup company in the technology industry. I also have a real estate license. I have my project management certification. And apparently this year I'll be going towards a privacy certification as well. So that's a little bit about me. Oh, and I also have an English bulldog named Roscoe. So you'll hear about him from time to time.
Roscoe. Yeah. He will be a regular on the show. We'll just keep referring to Roscoe. Yeah. What does Roscoe think?
Yeah, he generally just snores. So I think he thinks, when is my next nap and when is my next snack? And those are the two things he thinks about. Incidentally, not far from how I feel some days.
Yes, absolutely. All right. And then for me, I'm a retired firefighter paramedic from the Washington, D.C. area, Northern Virginia, currently working for two Fortune 100 companies and doing the 401k match for both. And I am basically a self-made millionaire completely through my 401k 457 investing. The whole point of this project that we started about 10 years ago is that somebody forced me into putting money away in my 457, which for those of you who don't know what a 457 is, it's a government version of a 401k. There's no company match or anything like that. Someone pushed me into this back when I was 23 years old. I put money into it. Every time I got a promotion or a raise or a cost of living increase, I increased my contributions. And then over time, easily got deep into seven figures. So I am your basic everyday millionaire. If I can do this, you can do this. And I spent a lot of time over the last 10 years learning about how this works, how to greatly simplify this for everybody. So that's where I come from. So I currently work for a very, very large worldwide hospitality hotel chain. And I also work for an airline. So in other words, Amanda, I retire poorly. I'm an
aspiring retiree. I probably will retire as well as you do at some point.
Coming up in just a few minutes, Amanda, you have some great holiday shopping tips for us. We're also going to talk about how much you should save and spend for a new or used vehicle. We'll have some thoughts about that. But first, we have a question of the day, and it's a voicemail at 989-888-ROCK. And by the way, this is our $100 winner for October. Even though we plan on having the podcast start in October. But anyway, this is our winner.
Craig, it's November. You should clip your calendar.
Our winner for October is Lacey. And by the way, if you would like a chance for win a $100 gift card from Amazon, all you got to do is leave a voicemail with your questions and we'll play those on the show. If they're good enough, you'll be eligible to win a $100 gift card. 989-888-ROCK. 989-888-7625. So here's Lacey with a question about her 401k.
Hey, this is Lacey from Texas, and I received an email from Fidelity as a Southwest employee, basically telling me that I am not eligible to participate in the stock options for Southwest Airlines. I was just curious what the pros and cons of participating in their stock options would be. So I appreciate your help. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing your response.
All right. So Amanda, so what she's asking is, what are the benefits to buying stocks in addition from your 401k or your 457 or something like that? Do you do any of that yourself?
So is she asking in separate from her 401k or separate from her IRA?
Not within it.
Within it. Okay. Yeah. So yes, I do that in both of my funds. I have a Roth IRA and also a SEP IRA. So I do almost exclusively stock picks in the SEP. And I chose to go that route because I have a higher tolerance for risk in that account. And I find that the returns are actually much higher on stocks than on any mutual fund that some financial advisors behind a desk is just putting together. I guess it gives me a little bit more sense of control as well, because I'm a bit of a control freak. I don't know what's in these funds that, you know, you pick a fund and it just says, oh, yeah, this index fund or this whatever fund is doing such and such the last few years. And, you know, the returns are 6% or 5% year over year. And that seems just way too low for me.
Yeah, actually,
I'd rather take a risk of something higher. And if I lose some money sometimes, then that's OK, too. But in the grand scheme of things, it's usually a better return.
I actually have that planned on the next episode or the one after that about how I go about picking mutual funds for my 457, my 401k. That's the most common question that people send to me is, hey, what funds should I be in my 401k? And I'm going to tell them how I go through. It's really boring and really simple, but my returns are proven. And it's like you said, financial advisors, some of these people just want you to be in like 20 different funds or something like that. Yeah. It's crazy. I'm literally in two. In each of my accounts, I let the fund diversify. I don't diversify my funds, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so. I'm a little different than that. I like to do my own diversification, and I aim for a 40 to 50% return each year.
Ouch! Well, see, that's why we have you here. So what I do is I don't do stocks currently in my two other Fortune 500 corporate accounts, the 401ks. Yeah. But in my 457, this is where I get leery, because I post a lot in our Facebook group for the show. And I'm afraid a lot of people copy what I do because they see how successful I am. And it makes me leery about why I do what I do. So I have almost 50% of my money in stocks.
Yeah.
Now, the stocks that I have, and I've been very open about the stocks that I have, but they're boring, but they're long-term successful.
Yeah.
Like Microsoft. I have Microsoft, and that's my disclosure. And I bought it in the 80s. It is currently, we're recording this in November, it's in the 145 range. It's almost a double in a year and a half.
Yeah.
I know that company. I research it. I've lived it since the early 80s. Amanda knows I'm a geek. I know Microsoft. I would not buy something unless I'm willing to hold it 10 years. That's kind of like a Warren Buffett rule. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and I don't move my money around. Once I buy something, it sticks.
Absolutely.
I don't sell anything.
Microsoft is the most valuable company in the world right now. I mean, they go back and forth with Apple, but it's not going anywhere. And the other one I have currently is Walmart. I have Walmart, and I'm a big believer in Walmart, even though everyone's going towards Amazon. Hey, what has turned out to happen is Amazon's a little bit down, but Walmart is on our tear. So anyway, these are companies that I know. And by the way, my sister is a general manager of her own Walmart. So it's not insider information. She just tells me about the robots that she has working in her store. They're adding on her store. They're putting health clinics in all the Walmarts coming up this next year. They've been testing.
You know what I love about Walmart? I can now go shop online for Walmart and same day pickup, and I can have my dog in the car with me. You know, and well, I have a dog, but some people have kids.
What's your dog's name? Buster?
Roscoe.
Where'd I get Buster from?
I don't know.
But you know what? My sister told me that is very, very popular at her store. People love
And you know what's
that.
Great about that? You don't have these impulse buys because you're not walking through the store.
Good point. Anyway,
off topic.
But the benefit that I have, I've accelerated. Like this year, the gains have not been as great as previous years. I mean, we've had a 10, 11 year run on these mutual funds. And so they're doing okay. They're in the low 20s. Can you believe we're some greedy kids, aren't we? We're like, man, we only getting 20 some percent on our mutual funds this month. But previous years, I've hit 30, 40 on some of my mutual funds. But my stocks is what's really on a tear right now. So for me, I like doing it in solid companies, not not $10 stocks. I'm buying the big boys. They're not going anywhere. Walmart's not going anywhere. It's the largest retailer, and I buy the largest technology company, and I'm sitting on it. I believe in those in the next 10 years. So
So I'm different than you. I must have a different risk profile than you. I like to invest in companies that I think are, that I believe in. First of all, I have to ethically align with their mission.
Absolutely.
So you won't see me investing in companies that I have a disagreement and opinion on some of the political aspects of how they operate or ethically. So I have to believe in it. But I also like, you know, I'm working for a big startup. So a lot of my investments are also in startups and technology that I see their vision and see where they're going and how they fit into the landscape.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I only invest in things I know, though. So, like, I don't have a lot in pharmaceutical because I know nothing about pharmaceutical.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, if we hit another dot-com bubble, I'm kind of screwed. But
yeah, I mean,
all my stuff is in tech stocks.
I see Jim Cramer and these other guys. They talk about Merck and these other ones. I don't know them. And I personally will not invest. I don't even invest in a mutual fund unless I know what the top 10 stocks that they have. Does it have Microsoft, Amazon, the Google, Apple? I mean, I got to know what the top 10 and and we'll get into that in another show. But anyway, hopefully, Lacey, the reason I do it is it accelerates my earnings because times are good right now and I'm taking advantage of it. This isn't going to last forever.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what the thinking is. It definitely accelerates the earnings.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't like to pay someone to manage a fund every quarter. I hate those management fees.
Oh, they'll drain you. And we'll talk about that another day, too, because
it's only $6, but I just get annoyed when I see that.
It's something you can do on your own. Anyway, hopefully, Lacey, that answer. And we'll be shipping you that electronic gift card to you, $100, just in time for Christmas.
No, so. Why didn't you give her a Walmart gift card, Craig?
Good. You know what? You know what? I just thought about that. That's kind of stupid. Actually, the online store at Walmart is actually really good now since Microsoft helped them out with that.
Yeah.
They've partnered with Microsoft. Obviously, you can't put the online store over at Amazon's cloud. They put over Microsoft's cloud. Microsoft and them have been working together and it's paying off. So anyway. All right. Coming up next, we have Amanda's shopping tips for this holiday season. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Let's talk about holiday shopping. So apparently, and I did not know this, we are in one of the shortest holiday shopping seasons on record this year. There's going to be a shorter period of time between Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Christmas Day.
Isn't Thanksgiving like the 28th of November this year?
It is. It's the very end of the month this year. So normally it's right around the 24th, 25th, and we're losing like a week this time. So there's only like 4 weeks, I think, between Black Friday and Christmas this year. And it seems to creep up and surprise us each and every year. So I thought I'd share with the group just some food for thought as the season approaches, thinking about things like what are you willing to sacrifice in terms of your priorities to either set aside a budget this year or go over that budget and really being mindful about where that money is coming from. Statistically, they did some reports this year. They say that consumers are saying they're going to spend an average of $1,047 this holiday season, which is up 4% from last year. Now, of course, last year, spending was down a little bit because we had the federal budget hold last year. So there were a number of people out of work for during the holiday season last year. But spending's up this year. And of that money, $659 of that they expect to be spent on gifts. That's in friends, families, coworkers. And then the remainder of that would be spent on non-gift holiday items like food, decorations. And I never think about food and decorations when I'm budgeting. So that was really helpful for me to think about.
You said $659 on family, friends, and coworkers.
Yeah.
You know, Nintendo Switch costs $300.
Well, hopefully you only have one friend.
Or what if you have kids, though? That's I guess the average, right?
It's an average, of course.
Okay, I got you.
I mean, I just have a dog, so I'm not spending that much on my
Roscoe.
My kid's grown, so he doesn't get gifts anymore.
Poor Roscoe.
Yeah, but you know what? Every single year, it catches me by surprise, these little surprise gifts. You know, last year I had a new neighbor walk over and give me a gift. And then you're like, oh, great. Now, thanks for giving me an obligation, because now I have to give you that person a gift.
Oh.
You know, keeping a little batch of extra gifts on hand is always handy, but you can pick those up. You know, the clearance aisle at Walmart, here's another Walmart plug, is often good for those handy little items. But the non-gift items really kind of take a dent in the budget, like food, decorations. I did not realize how expensive these blow-ups are that people put in their yards. Did you, Craig?
Oh, I don't know how it is where you're at, but here in the D.C. area, they have people that are filling up. They're on the all over the roofs. They're all over the...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah how much are yard. Those things?
Like $100 a pop.
Each?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I don't have any.
Yeah, I thought about getting a Halloween one now that they're all on clearance, but even at half price, I was thinking that price was too steep, but no. I'm a miser. So what do we do to combat all this unexpected spending? I love to shop online. One thing that has been really handy for me is there's a browser add-on called Honey that you just add into your like Google Chrome browser. And when you get to a checkout, it just runs automatically and scours the internet for all sorts of discount codes. And if it finds one, it automatically applies the best discount to your cart.
So wait a minute. So do you use Honey?
I do. Yeah.
I see that the ads for that all the time, and I've never installed that. Have you encountered any spam or anything or pop-ups or anything from that? Is there any? Really?
Never.
Mm-mm. So how are they making money on that?
I don't know. I don't care.
That's weird.
They're saving me money.
But your computer has not encountered any issues with that thing?
No.
That's none. Awesome. I'm going to have to try that. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I can't say, usually when I install an add-on, I'm very careful about picking the privacy settings on it. So I don't always just click through the defaults. So, and this was years ago, so I can't tell you what I picked when I installed it, but...
No, that's fine.
That might be something to look at.
I love it.
So using the add-on is huge. The other thing, the other little trick, if you leave something in your cart and you think about it overnight, oftentimes retailers can see that you abandoned your cart and they'll send you a discount code just to entice you to complete your purchase. So if you're not finding a discount, sometimes if you just like wait overnight, leave it in your cart, kind of, you know, leave your browser before making that purchase, a lot of times they'll send you a discount code saying, hey, we noticed you didn't finish this purchase. Here's 20% off. And brick and mortar stores will often match prices. So if you want to get all your shopping done at one store, you know, bring in the ads from the other ones and they'll match those.
I actually do that on a regular basis with Best Buy. If I need electronics, you know, electronics, the way those are, sometimes I get them from Amazon, they've been returned and they're reshipping them. I go up there, I show them on my phone. They easily price match, and I know it's a brand new item, and if I have a problem, I can take it right back to them. I prefer that than getting it from Amazon, personally, or Walmart.
And then, you know, the final little tip I'll share today, I mean, obviously there are a lot of other tips and tricks, but one thing you might consider is not saving your payment information in your apps like Amazon. You know, these apps have gotten so good at removing all the friction points for you spending money, but that few extra steps and minutes it takes to enter your payment information each time helps to give you time to think about, is that really the decision you want to make? Are you overspending, or is it a good purchase for you?
Quick story, 60 seconds, put me on the timer. The issue that happened to me with that, I used to store my information in my Domino's account. I was in my office one, I think it was 2 years ago, and I'm on the computer and I got a notification that I ordered pizzas in Texas.
Yeah.
I immediately saw it and I called the store directly and said, hey, someone just used my credit card to order pizzas. They're coming to pick them up. They wouldn't do anything about it. I spent the entire weekend going through all my usernames and passwords and accounts. And I bought me one of those hardware keys.
Yep.
So now I use LastPass and a hardware key. I have no idea what my passwords are anymore. It's that good. And I love it.
That's a good point. Obviously, it's also protecting your privacy and your financial information, but it does buy you some time to think about how much money you're spending as well.
Oh, yeah.
because it's annoying. You're like, do I really want to go get my wallet?
And I keep my YubiKey is the brand I have. It's on my lanyard for my airline credentials. It's in my car and my suit. I got to go get it, plug it in my computer. I'm like, ugh. Yep. And by that time, I feel guilty about buying some.
Exactly. Yep. It's that extra little friction point.
All right. Since we're running out of time, we're going to skip some social media questions, but we promise to get them into the next show. Real quickly, how much to spend on a car? What is your rule about buying a car? do you have that's probably not a good question. I read an article that popped up the other day. Some millionaire expert says you can only spend 10% of your annual income on a car. I'm like, wait a minute. If I make $90,000 a year, that means $9,000 car.
Yeah, that seems a little. I mean, I think that's not taking the whole picture into consideration.
I agree. Because a $9,000 car.
Now, what are you talking about? Like, that's probably a car that's probably used. I don't know any brand new cars that are $9,000. And then you've got maintenance costs and repair costs and.
Exactly. I went on Carvana real quick this morning as I was typing up these show notes. I'm like, well, what can $9,000 buy me? I didn't go to CarMax.
What does it buy? Like a smart car?
Well, I looked like a Honda Civic. If you wanted to get a good, reliable Honda Civic, I went to Consumer Reports. 2013 was a great year. So I went over to Carvana and said, all right, the 2013 Honda Civic, that's almost 6 years old, right? Yeah. So it was still $13,000 because those things hold their value. They're very reliable. They're $13,000 to $15,000.
Well, I tell you, Craig, I watch The Price is Right nearly every day because I have the luxury of working from home.
Yeah.
And I've not seen a single car that is less than $13,000.
Exactly.
And they're not giving away the high-end vehicles. It's like Kias and these, Hondas that they're giving away. And they're not all souped up. They may even have roll-down windows. I don't know.
roll-down windows. The most common thing that
these are I haven't seen a single one less than $10,000.
Yeah. According to Experian, 29 report that just came out, says the new vehicle average amount borrowed hit a record at $32,187.
Yeah.
For the first quarter of this year, the average used car loan hit $20,137, which can almost buy you a brand new Civic loaded. I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, you can buy an LX without a sunroof, but you can get all the other fancy things for about $21,000. Yeah. So 20% of borrowers are taking out loans of $50,000 or more. That's insane. Those are pickup trucks. You know that.
Yeah, these pickup trucks are pretty expensive. Don't get me started on that.
Okay. We'll leave that alone. What they're saying is this equates to medium income earners buying medium income priced vehicles or spending 80% of their gross salary. And if you take away the effective tax rate, they're basically spending 100% of their net income on a car. So,
well, and the other problem here, Craig, is that these dealerships are willing to finance things for 6 years nowadays. So 5-6 years down the road, that's long past when your warranty has expired and things are starting to go wrong. You have to think about a lower monthly payment isn't always the best long-term plan.
No. 25% of annual income is where your car should be.
Total
amount of vehicles you own. All your vehicles compared to all your income. So if you're a married couple.
I think it also depends on what your priorities are. So some people experience joy in their vehicles.
Yeah, because their mom didn't hug them.
Yeah.
Their mom
didn't like that.
I know you don't like that.
But if that's the priority and you're willing to give up and sacrifice other areas, you don't want to travel and you don't want to eat out every day or whatever, but you love your car, then that's a personal decision to make. But 25% sounds like a good rule of thumb.
So anyway, that's it for this show. Wow, that ran a little long, but that's okay. Do you have any social media accounts you want people to follow you at? Probably not.
I do not. No, I am a curmudgeon with antiquated. I barely have Facebook.
You're probably the smartest person out here right now.
Yeah. I'm like the grandmothers in the room. I just follow my family on Facebook, but
well,
we, someday we, maybe.
That's okay. No, there's you're not missing out on anything.
My son's in college, and he has prohibited me from getting on Snapchat. I said, but then I could be giving you snaps all day. He did not think that was funny.
Yeah. You can find me at Rockland USA on every social media account out there. Because I haven't learned. Coming up on future episodes, we'll get into more about 401k, how to pick your mutual funds. What else we have coming up on future episodes?
Avoiding gift cards this holiday.
Oh, yeah. On the next episode. Cards? Yep. A lot of people give gift cards, but we're going to get into why you probably should avoid gift cards this holiday season. Yeah,
One of my love languages is gifts. I get a lot of joy in picking the perfect gift for people. I do not want to give anyone a gift card.
Apparently 59% of Americans want gift cards. I don't know why.
Well, why not just give them cash then?
Well, hey, that's the punchline of the next show. Now everyone knows. No one has to... next year. But
if you're going to give a gift card, why limit me to what store I can spend it at?
Absolutely. You mean you don't want Bass Pro Shops? No? Okay.
No.
Okay.
As we end the show saying, please leave us a voicemail so we can tell you where to spend $100.
Right. 989-888-ROCK. Leave us a voicemail to enter for a chance to win a $100 gift card. And also, if you don't want to do that, you won't be eligible, but if you have any questions whatsoever, you can text us at 989-888-ROCK 24/7, and we can get back to you pretty quick and answer any questions you have, and we may use it on the show. Also, you can just email us at podcast@rocklandusa.com. Thank you very much, Amanda, for your time in joining us.
My pleasure. Looking forward to the next one.
So long, everybody. All opinions expressed by the host and guest on the website and the show are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of any company or advertiser. You should not treat any opinion expressed by the host or guest as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. Past performance is not indicative of future results. The host or guest of the show guarantees any specific outcome or profit. You should be aware of the real risk of loss in following any strategy or investment discussed on the website or the show. Investments or strategies mentioned on this website or on the show may not be suitable for you. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. You must make an independent decision regarding investments or strategies mentioned on the website or the show. Before acting on any information on the website or the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor. The information provided does not and is not intended to constitute legal advice. Instead, all information, content, and materials available on the site are for general informational purposes only. Listeners should contact their attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular legal matter. No individual should act or refrain from acting on the basis of information shared here without first seeking legal advice from counsel in the relevant jurisdiction. Only your individual attorney can provide assurances that the information presented and your interpretation of it is applicable or appropriate to your particular situation. Use of and access to this website or any links to resources contained within the site do not create an attorney-client relationship between the reader, user, or browser and website authors or contributors and their respective employers. The views expressed at or through this website are those of the individual authors writing in their own individual capacities only. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken on the content of the site are hereby expressly disclaimed. The content on the site provided as is, no representations are made that the content is error-free. Whew! That's it, folks.